Everyone faces challenges, but it's how we deal with them that really matters. I'm Camille Bauer, and I'm going to help you see that life can go from bad to worse. But if you have faith and trust in the Lord and put on your big girl pants, then those hard times will help strengthen your faith, refine your character, and make you who you were destined to be. Hey, you guys, I'm so excited for this week's episode. I have one of the most incredible women I know sitting next to me, Christy, one of my very good friends. We went out to lunch a couple years ago, and she was super picky. And I was thinking to myself, dang, I'm learning the secrets to her crazy diet. And come to find out, she is dealing with an autoimmune disease. And can you tell us a little bit about that? What is the name of it?
So it's Hashimoto's.
Okay. And how did you know you had it?
So I actually was diagnosed through a dermatologist because I had lost my eyebrows, and I had a friend who told me to come to her dermatologist.
Like that's where she was hair, working. Like the hair fell out. Mm-hmm. You were losing hair.
Yeah. And then it scars. So once it scars, you don't get your eyebrows back. But it had been years and I had no idea. So she's like, come to this dermatologist because she's amazing and she knows her stuff and she'll, you know, treat you. And I did. And she came back and said, your antibodies are high. I guarantee you have an autoimmune disease. You need to go see, you know,
a specialist.
And that was...
So once you learned it was Hashimoto's, what side effects do you see? So if there's those watching that maybe have similar side effects but don't know they have that, can you explain that? Or somebody's who loved ones have it and they're not very tolerable or understanding, what are people dealing with that have this diagnosis?
Okay, so severe exhaustion. Like, it's not an exhaustion that sleep cures. You will go to bed tired, you'll wake up even more tired. Rest doesn't cure it. Your nails and your hair are dry and brittle, you have hair that falls out, you have severe mood swings, you have depression, you have joint pain, body inflammation. Like for me, I knew the minute I eat something I shouldn't, I get inflammation within the hour. And I know that it's, you know, you itch, you feel swollen.
Okay, so you have a family, you're married, you have two children. Mm-hmm. How has this disease impacted your family life?
I would have to say that it's impacted them in a lot of ways, as far as we don't go out to eat very often anymore. If we travel, the first thing we have to do is find a grocery store. The mood swings, I think, you know, my family would probably tell you I'm a little more irritable than I used to be. The constant reminders, because you get a lot of brain fog. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I can ask my children something and within 2 hours I'm asking them the same question. So they get frustrated with me because I can't remember. And I think to them, they think it's because I don't care. And it's not that.
How have you been able to pull together as a family to have them understand what you're going through? Like, what have you needed to do to help them be more patient with you?
I just constantly remind them, you know, that this isn't me. I mean, it is me now, but it's not the person I want to be. But I don't know, you know, as much as they try to understand, unless if you really are going through it, you just can't comprehend it. They don't know what goes on in my brain.
Yeah.
They don't know the struggle or the fight that you have with yourself daily. And so they try to be patient.
I think the hard thing too is you look amazing. You look normal. You look healthy.
Thank you. Yeah.
And it's hard to understand.
Mm-hmm. Because I do.
You look good.
I look healthy on the outside, but I am severely sick on the inside. And that's what people don't realize.
And I'm sure that has to be so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. And when you're out in public, you're not going to be like, oh my gosh. You know, you put on your big girl pants and you do the best that you can.
How has that affected your, I know you said it, depression, anxiety. What has helped you deal with that, cope with that?
So the depression and the anxiety, it's funny because when you first get diagnosed, you're like in survival mode. And what do I need to do to fix myself? And you get to a point where you've done all of that. And then it hits you like, this is a lifelong thing. This isn't, you know, there's no stop and go. And I think the depression sets in and you feel lonely. Mm-hmm. You feel darkness. And so I think at that point, my savior is who I've relied on the most, because that's where I get strength when I don't feel like I can do it.
Mm-hmm. So your faith has helped you mm-hmm. pull through a devastating diagnosis. Life change.
Definitely life changing.
Because you have to change also your mental status too, and how you look and view the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, so many of us think, let's go out to eat. Right now we're dealing with an epidemic where we can't go out to eat. And I'm sure we're all feeling a little bit like Christy, where we're like, no, I want to go to a restaurant. I want to go eat something. But how frustrating it is, and how you feel imprisoned in a little bit of a way.
Yeah, it's weird, because when your friends call you up and they want to go out, your initial reaction is, I don't want to go out to eat.
Yeah.
But you want that social time. And so you'll do whatever you need to do to have that social time. But it's so discouraging when you go to a restaurant and you order a fish cooked in water with steamed broccoli and no seasonings, and they charge you $20.
Yeah.
When if you stayed at home, you could prepare something that had a little more flavor.
Yeah.
But you want to be with, you still want to be with people.
Live your life.
You want to feel normal.
To limit you and stop you from living, but it's just a little more of a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So I know before you hadn't been comfortable sharing this, and I just had, I don't know, just the spirit, how it talks to me, which we talked before, it just kept coming into my mind, you need to talk to Christy. And I don't know if there's, you know, going to be people that are listening, watching, hearing. So I applaud your courage. So why before have you not wanted to share with those other than those in your immediate family with your diagnosis?
So I'm a very, very private person, very introverted. And I didn't want people to know, because I never wanted them to think I was using it as an excuse or a crutch or trying to get out of something. And I didn't want it to define who I was. But it's very lonely, because even though your family tries to sympathize and your friends, they don't know what you're truly going through. It's like with anything, you know, cancer. Nobody can live that or know that unless if they've lived it. And it goes the same for any autoimmune disease or any sickness, any trial. Unless if you've been through it, you just don't know.
Have you connected with others that have this? No.
No.
No. So from the outside, you look amazing.
Thank you.
But on the inside, you said you're dealing with a lot of pain. Like, can you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, what are you going through on the inside? How does this...
So I think it's really a mental game. In the sense that, you know, you wake up every day and you have your spirit that has so many ambitions, so many things it wants to accomplish, but it's trapped in a body who's too exhausted to participate. Mm. So you come home from work and you think, oh my gosh, I have all this stuff I need to do, and all you want to do is go to sleep. And it's an everyday battle. So you've got to, every step of your day, you've got to talk yourself into, okay, we got to do this. We got to do this. You know, and it's just, you lose yourself. I long for the person I used to be that was energetic and had energy, loved going and decorating my house. That was like my hobby. I loved to shop for home decor. I have no interest in that now because it takes too much energy. I have to think about things.
That must be really frustrating and hard.
Yeah, you lose interest in a lot of what you used to love.
Okay, so you do feel that way, but... You do so many things that everybody does. You wear all the hats, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Work.
Yep.
Mom.
Mm-hmm.
You teach dance in addition to that.
I teach, yep.
You prepare food for your family. You grocery
and
shop.
And for myself. Remember, there are two separate meals.
Oh, that's true. And you have furry animals.
I do have my fur babies.
Yeah. So you do all that. How do you do that with the challenges you deal with?
You know, that's where I have to rely on the Lord a lot, because... It's too much a lot of the days. It just is. I tell my husband all the time, I just want to be a stay-at-home mom again. I don't want to go to work. And I love to teach dance. It is my passion. But it's a fight to get me there, if I'm honest, because I don't have the energy. Hmm. Once I'm there, the girls pull it out of me, you know? And I think it's the same with, like, it's hard to get yourself to do it. But once you're in it, you just go, you're just in the mode. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, you forget how exhausted you are. But there are days where and it's hard for people to understand the exhaustion. And so I try to tell my husband, it's like you're on 1,000 muscle relaxers.
Oh, wow.
And that weight of the world, your muscles feel dead. But you are fighting with all your might to keep going.
And the crazy part is that you look totally normal.
I do.
You look
And that's
amazing.
What people don't understand. So that's why I never tell people. Because you can't see it on the outside.
Yeah.
People don't always believe you.
Yeah,
I get so many people who are like, is it just in your head? Do you think it's just in your head?
Which has to be so hurtful.
Yeah, because hello, do you think I would really live this way if I had another option?
No.
No.
On that note, does it make you less, having dealing with this, has it made you less judgmental of others?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because you just, like I said, you don't know what somebody's head's going through, their body's going through. Their experience is completely different than your own. And just like with Hashimoto's, it's not a one-size-fits-all disease. It affects everybody in so many different ways. And so what, you know, my worst thing is exhaustion. That doesn't mean that someone else's.
I know it's hard to put your mind around a diagnosis as being a gift, but having been a caregiver to a spouse that has had terminal cancer and passed away, we had to look at it as a gift because it forces you to live in the moment. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that this diagnosis for you has brought any good in your life?
It has brought some good in the fact that I depend a lot more on the Savior and our Heavenly Father. I get my strength from them. It's given me a lot of knowledge that I didn't know. Like, I can look at a recipe and alter any recipe I need to now to fit my needs. That took time. Yeah. I have learned so many aspects of nutrition and things that, you know, are poison to our bodies and things.
What resources can you point us towards for this disease? Like, how did you educate yourself?
Okay, so I worked with a doctor that's more of a naturopath doctor. And the program that I had to do with him was 6 months long. And so he really educated me a lot. But from that point on, I can't say there's a resource I used other than going to the store and searching every ingredient on everything. And if I didn't know what an ingredient was, I would go home and look it up, or I would do it right there on my phone in the store.
So you're like a nutritionist.
I very much could be.
School of Hard Knocks.
Without the degree, unfortunately, because if I had one, that'd be a whole new world, but.
Yeah. So what caught my eye was that your diet is so different. And for depression, for me, and I've talked about before, I want to eat my feelings. Like, mm-hmm. How have you changed that mindset of food is a crutch to help soothe your problems?
I haven't figured that out. So food for me is still a huge battle. I struggle with it every day. I want to go have that piece of cake, and I have to mentally tell myself you cannot have it. Like, it's not something, those cravings don't go away. And I know people will be like, I'm on a diet and I don't crave those things anymore. I just want to call that a BS. Because you crave that shit and you know it. And they don't go away. So, like, nachos were
my
favorite.
Maybe after 1 month or 2 months, but after how many years have you been dealing with this?
For 5 years, and it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Can I say if you go without it for a while, does it make it a little less tempting? Maybe. And I know the consequences of if I cheat, guess how I'm going to feel.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take it away. It's, you know, like holidays, for example. What's a holiday? What's your birthday like anymore? Yeah. You don't get a birthday cake.
So you're almost grieving. Like, you're grieving the loss of a life that you want.
Yes, very much feels like that.
So you're dealing with a death of
yourself.
Yeah. That must be extremely frustrating and hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it has helped your life in the fact that you said you learned a lot more.
Have learned a lot about health and nutrition. I haven't got my family to be all on board with it. Slowly but surely, we're getting there, but.
What advice would you give for someone that has a friend going through something that's similar to you? In your ideal world, what's your recipe to give to somebody to be a good friend to someone dealing with an autoimmune disease in Hashimoto's here we're talking about today?
Don't change your friendship. Don't change who you are around that person. Like I said, I had a really good friend who we used to travel for dance competitions, and we'd have to drive to St. George. And if she wanted her favorite chocolate cinnamon bears, she ate them. It wasn't like, oh, I know you can't have this, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to eat it anyways. Don't do that. Just eat it. We don't want you to change our friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had another friend who we used to go and get ice cream all the time. And the last time we went, I would just get a bowl of fruit, and she would get her normal ice cream, and she just made the comment, and it wasn't to be mean or anything, it was just in her coming around saying, you make me really uncomfortable to eat this with you here. Don't do that. Don't make it awkward.
Yeah.
Because we want you to just love us, because you are our normalcy to life. And if you make that awkward, what do we have?
Yeah.
that links us back to who we used to be.
That's good advice. Thank you for that. What other advice do you have to those? You've heard my cancer do's and don'ts.
Yes,
I got a list. And you brought some that I'm so excited that she's going to share with everybody today.
Another thing I thought of was, and here's another example, and again, it wasn't meant to be cruel. She's one of our mutual friends. But she came to me one day and she goes, "Christy, I am just like you now." And I'm all, "You are? How so?" And she says, "Well, I'm gluten-free." And in my, you know, moment, I had heartbreak for her because I do know what that struggle is like. But I also thought, I had anger because I'm all, "You are not like me." And I felt for her that, yes, I know you're going to struggle and it's going to be hard. But I am also dairy-free and soy-free and sugar-free and salt-free and corn-free and citrus fruit-free. And the list goes on and on. Mm-hmm. So for you to just come and say you're gluten-free to me, don't compare us as we're similar.
Yeah.
But I can still sympathize with her because I know the struggle is real, regardless of what it is. So don't compare your sicknesses to each other.
Is that a natural human desire?
Yes.
To want to compare or sympathize and throw something out?
Mm-hmm.
And it's annoying.
Yes, to a point. Because you love your friends. Yeah. But in that moment, I probably could have smacked her. But I didn't because that's not me. But
any other, any thinking you might have some more advice?
Just another thing is if you don't stop inviting your friend. Because I'm exhausted, don't stop inviting me to things. Or because I can't eat what you can eat, don't not invite me when you have a girls' night. And if I cancel, that isn't anything to do with you.
Don't be offended.
Yeah, because it's all on me. Yeah. Because Monday you could call me up and be like, "Hey, let's go to lunch Friday." And I am so excited. But by the time Friday comes, I am so incredibly exhausted that, you know, sometimes it's too much.
So invite you, be supportive and understanding.
Don't be offended.
Don't be offended. And don't change your friendship. Don't change who you are. Treat you normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I dealt with a lot of that too. People were like, "Oh, what I'm dealing with is nothing compared to what you are. I won't complain." But have you liked people to complain to you?
Oh, I love it.
I do too.
Because it makes you not think about your own.
Yes. It's like, it's a vacation from my reality, please.
Yes. Like I have another friend who's, you know, she's struggled with her weight. And she's always like, "Oh, I cannot talk. I can't vent to you about my weight problems." And I'm all, "Yes, you can. Like, spill it. I need to know these things."
Yeah.
So
be normal. Be cool. Be awesome. Be loving. Be supportive.
Yeah.
And in Christy's case, what helps her get through? Turn to the big man. Turn to God, and he'll help you put your bigger pants on.
Yep.
Thank you so much for being on today, Michelle.
You're welcome.
I love
Thanks you. For your invite. Love you back.
And if anybody you know is dealing with this, or if you are thinking maybe some of the symptoms that she talked about today is something that you're dealing with, know you're not alone. And I'm so proud of her for reaching out. I know I put a lot of stuff out there, but a lot of people are uncomfortable and don't want to share. But look at her today and her courage to be able to sit here and to tell you private details of what she struggles with. So if you are struggling with something, open your mouth. And chances are there's somebody that needs to hear what you have to say. And there's power in that. When you speak up, when you share your light, when you share your struggles, we can help each other pull through. And I know that we can do this. I know that we can rely on each other and share what's in our heart and help strengthen each other through our struggles, because nobody's perfect. Even though this might look perfect on the outside, there's not perfect going on the inside, and none of us are perfect. So let's share our imperfections and embrace our imperfections and have the courage to be able to let that out. And in that, we help strengthen others. We help give others courage to do the same thing. And I hope that this episode inspired you this week. And are you going through something hard? I would love to hear from you. Is it Hashimoto's? Does someone you know have this? Is it cancer? Is it weight gain? Is it anxiety, depression? Leave it in the comments. We would love to be able to read those and gain strength and power from everybody. And no matter what, don't forget, put on your big girl pants.